Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, it's Thursday, and welcome to our time together. I hope you've been with us every day this week. I know I often say that, but this week, Derek Prince has been teaching us about why bad things happen to good people. And, you know, I've been reflecting on the fact that this is such a theme in our generation. Recently, we had the horrible shootings at Virginia Tech. We've got the war overseas. Every day, we seem to hear about a disaster. Not too long ago, one of my favorite historians, David Halberstam, was killed in a car accident in California. What a life snuffed out. And of course, I'm sure you could repeat stories like that time and time again. Derek has been teaching us some very solid biblical theology. He began by telling us that suffering is both something we bring on ourselves by our actions, and it's a mystery, something we really need to know. He's taken us to the book of Job and talked about some interesting facts about our adversary, the devil, and how God even uses the devil to bring some things into our lives. And it's interesting, he's establishing the fact that being righteous doesn't mean we're immune to Satan's attacks. That's kind of a bummer, but it's a truth that I want to know. And today now, he's going to take us even further into the book of Job and really help us gain some insights. You know, if we want to be like Jesus, we have to know that Jesus suffered, according to Hebrews 5:8, and once he was made perfect, he became a source of eternal salvation. We're all going to suffer. I want a biblical framework for that suffering, and I know you do too. So let's get to it. As Derek Prince teaches us about why bad things happen to good people.
Now, along come Job's friends, and they are men of words. I think of in Ramallah, we had an Arab maid whose name was Jamila. She was basically a faithful person. She was a little difficult to deal with. She never learned to read or write. And she was, in some ways, she knew how to manipulate, let me say that. And she had her own way of getting what she wanted. But bless her heart, she's with the Lord now. She was very, very faithful in the basics. She would lay down her life for the little children, absolutely. But anyhow, one day, and at that time, Lydia and the children were living in a house that was rented from Jamila's father. So they were living on the ground floor, and the family was living on the top floor. And Lydia heard Jamila go out and really lay into her father, say all sorts of disrespectful things, which was very, very uncharacteristic. And normally a daughter wouldn't dare to say such things. So Lydia said to the father, "Why do you let her say that?" And he answered, "If she doesn't say it, she'll burst." And I think that many times about these comforters. If they didn't say it, they'd burst. They have to let themselves out. So now I want to give you a little sort of summation of what they said. Because then you'll understand Job's reaction. First of all, they said in a very roundabout way to Job, "You have sinned, and that's why all this has happened to you." They didn't come right out and say it that way straight away, but Job knew well enough what they were saying, and they knew what they wanted to say, and the implication was, this wouldn't have happened to you if you hadn't sinned. So you'll find all the way through, Job is maintaining, "But I haven't sinned." And you know, he was right. He hadn't sinned. And you'll find, right from beginning to end, God never charges Job with sin. He was righteous at the beginning and he was righteous at the end. That's what makes the book puzzling. And a lot of religious people just don't make room for that. They think like Job's friends, well, this happened to him, so he must have sinned. Not so. Let's just look at one passage. Job 22, verses 5 through 11. Now, as I say, they don't come right out and say that immediately. But that's what they mean. But in the end, Eliphaz comes out and accuses Job of all sorts of things he never did. So Eliphaz says in Job 22 verse 5 and following, "Is not your wickedness great and your iniquity without end? For you have taken pledges from your brother for no reason, stripped the naked of their clothing." That was not true. Job had never done that. "You have not given the weary water to drink, and you withheld bread from the hungry. You have sent widows away empty, and the strength of the fatherless was crushed. Therefore, snares are all around you, and sudden fear troubles you." In other words, you've been wicked, and that's why all this has happened. And the Lord said, they said the wrong thing. Job said the right thing. Then they said, "God never lets the wicked prosper." Is that true? Some people will imply that it is. I was interested about Jim Baker. All of you know who Jim Baker was or is. Recently, he published a statement that he'd been entirely wrong in his doctrine. You read that? He said, prosperity doesn't necessarily indicate righteousness. He said, criminals prosper. Movie stars prosper. He said, "I had a totally wrong sense of values." It's wonderful that God brought him to that place. Chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. "Remember now," they're saying to him, "whoever perished being innocent? Or where were the upright ever cut off? Even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his anger they are consumed." In other words, if you've sown evil, you'll be cut off. But that isn't true. And Job is very careful to point that out emphatically. But it's really an issue that you and I have to face today. Does God always judge the wicked? Job says no. I notice a kind of silence comes. I think some of you probably never really faced that issue. Does God let the wicked get away with it? The answer is yes, he does. Not always. But sometimes. And then they said to Job, "If you would acknowledge and repent, everything would go right with you." Now it's easy for religious people to say that, isn't it? You see, what they gave him, Job, was a lot of religious talk. And God didn't accept it. Job 8, verses 3 and 7. 3 to 7. "Does God subvert judgment? Or does the Almighty pervert justice? If your sons have sinned against him, he has cast them away for their transgression." There's no record that Job's sons had sinned. "If you would earnestly seek God and make your supplication to the Almighty, if you were pure and upright, surely now he would awake for you and prosper your rightful habitation. Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly." In other words, if you were really right with God, you'd be prospering. The fact that you're not prospering shows you're not right with God. Have you ever heard that teaching? Well, the Lord says it's wrong. See, this is why it's very important. The issues of Job are all current. They concern us today.
You know, it strikes me as I'm listening to this that some of you might be like me. You've suffered, and false religious ideas given by perhaps well-meaning friends have made your seasons of suffering even more difficult. Perhaps one of the things we need to do is forgive those who have complicated and compounded our times of suffering with weird ideas like Derek's bringing out to us now. Listen, let's forgive them, let's move on, and let's engage suffering in the righteous way that God's ordained for us. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Faith. Explore the mystery, promises, and powers of genuine faith as you read the insightful book, Faith to Live By. In it, Derek Prince answers your questions about faith and reveals how to pray effectively, understand spiritual gifts, and truly enjoy an abundant life. In this easy-to-read book, based solidly on the scriptures, you'll discover what God is saying to you. Order your copy of Faith to Live By now for only $8.95 when you call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Faith to Live By is a hope-filled resource for every Christian who wants to receive the promises of a faith-filled life. Order now. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we are in the middle of a fascinating teaching by Derek Prince on why bad things happen to good people. And Derek's actually breaking truths out of the book of Job, particularly exposing false religious ideas like God never lets the wicked prosper. If you've sown evil, you'll be cut off. Things like that that come from Job's friends. I'm sure you've heard things like that maybe coming out of the mouths of your own friends. Let's listen now as Derek continues to develop these false religious ideas that obscure God's purposes in suffering.
Then Eliphaz, who was the sort of leader, preached what I call the prosperity gospel. You see how relevant this is. How concerned we have to be to find out what God really thinks. In Job chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. In other words, you're being chastened by the Almighty. It wasn't true. For he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole. He shall deliver you in 6 troubles. Yes, in 7, no evil shall touch you. Is that true? No. Unfortunately. I can see you looking. At least I've got your attention. What I want you to see is the issues of Job are right up to date. They face things that we face today. All right. In famine, he shall redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. In other words, Christians never get killed in war. True or false? All right. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, and you shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. You shall laugh at destruction and famine, and you shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth. Much of Africa is racked by famine. Are Christians exempt? That's what Eliphaz is saying. And I won't go any further, but it comes out again and again. It's difficult to find just one place where it's all said. Now, I'm saying, this is my version of it, the friends preached the prosperity gospel to Job. And they said, if you hadn't sinned, you wouldn't be sick. Have you ever heard that? It's very, very cruel. Because to the problem of sickness, it adds the problem of guilt. And a lot of Christians today begin to feel guilty when they get sick because they've been fed an incomplete doctrine. It's not altogether wrong, but it isn't altogether right. And the thing about that teaching is it works often enough that people can go on teaching it. If it never worked, they couldn't. But it certainly does not always work. Amen? All right. And then they come up with a fearful catalogue of all the terrors that await the wicked. And what are they saying? They're saying, Job, this is what you can expect. Job 20, verses 20 through 29. This is about the wicked. I can't get to the whole context. Because he knows no quietness in his heart, he will not save anything he desires. Nothing is left for him to eat, therefore his well-being will not last. In his self-sufficiency, he will be in distress. Every hand of misery will come against him. When he is about to fill his stomach, God will cast on him the fury of his wrath and will rain it on him while he is eating. He will flee from the iron weapon. A bronze bow will pierce him through. It is drawn and comes out of the body. Yes, the glittering point comes out of his gall. Terrors come upon him. Total darkness is reserved for his treasures. An unfanned fire will consume him. It shall go ill with him who is left in his tent. The heavens will reveal his iniquity, and the earth will rise up against him. In other words, Job, that's what happens to the wicked, and it's going to happen to you. Job's response is really quite interesting. Number one, Job's first response was reverent submission. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The second time his wife said, go on, curse God and die. Why should you want to live? And he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we receive good and shall we not receive evil from the Lord's hand? And it says, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God foolishly. His initial reaction was totally right. Now, I learned something from that because when my first wife died, it was the hardest experience that I've been through. But I saw that Job gave me the answer. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. If we can trust God to give, we have to trust Him to take away. And that, for me, resolved the doctrinal problem. Still a personal problem. But I wasn't troubled by what had happened. All right. Secondly, in Job chapter 3, Job goes into a long lament. And he says things I don't understand. Because he says, I wish the day that I was born would be blotted out of the number of months. I don't understand how that could happen. A past day can be blotted out of the calendar. I don't understand. But I'm sure there's something about it. But he really lets go his feelings. And I want to say that is the right reaction. We are not Stoics. That's an alien, unchristian doctrine, Stoicism. That we never let anything affect us. We never get so involved in anything that is going to hurt us. Now, I've met Christians like that. And I've always seen there's a reason. They got hurt once. And their inner attitude is, I'm never going to let anybody get close enough to me to hurt me again. Brothers and sisters, I can understand that, but I want to say it's the wrong reaction. You cannot afford to shut up your feelings. You study the Bible, especially the book of Psalms, especially David, a great man, a man of action, a man of war, a man God loved. He poured out his feelings in tremendous language. And if we don't do that, if we bottle it up, we suffer. Something inside us goes sour. It's appropriate to mourn. When Moses died, the children of Israel mourned 40 days for him. They didn't move. That's the right way to respond. Let it out. Tell God how you feel. Don't hold it in.
You know, one of the great liberating truths coming out of the book of Job is what the Bible tells us repeatedly, and that is that Job did not sin, that his suffering was not a punishment for sin, and that he did not sin in what he said, even though he complained and he probed. That's really liberating, because it means that suffering can be something other than just punishment for us being bad. That is a liberating truth. Listen, we're going to have a great discussion coming up with one of our producers, a friend who's often been on the show, David Holland, and we're really going to dive into some of these truths and make practical application as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
When does a total surrender ensure a powerful victory? In his classic teaching, Grace of Yielding, Derek Prince explains, from the Scriptures, why God will abundantly bless you when you are willing to yield completely to Him. As you listen to this special audio CD, you'll discover how to please God in all you do, strengthen and mature your faith, and receive your inheritance as a child of God. As our way of saying thank you for listening to Derek Prince Legacy Radio, we want you to have a copy of Derek's inspiring audio CD, free and postage paid. To request your copy, call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the grace of yielding. Request your free copy now, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or request your free copy of Grace of Yielding securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Hope you've been with us all this week for this marvelous teaching by Derek Prince on why bad things happen to good people. And this is such an important topic that I really wanted to explore it a little bit further and bounce it around a little bit. And there's nobody better to do that with than David Holland, one of the producers of our show who often joins us and brings great insight. David, thanks for being here.
Hi, Stephen. Thank you. What a important topic. Frankly, every believer on the planet needs to be steeped in the teaching that we're hearing this week.
Absolutely.
Every believer on the planet is going to experience trouble, heartache, and a certain measure of hardship in their life, and they're going to experience it for two reasons. One of two reasons. Either the wound is going to be self-inflicted because we've violated God's principles or violated his precepts for living, or because we live in a fallen world. That's what creation is still groaning under the strain of the curse, and because we live in a fallen world. And for those reasons, we really, really need this understanding that we're getting this week about how to think about tough things, even tragedy, when it comes into the life of a believer.
Well, and you know, the problem is really not that hardship exists, but that we're so shocked by it. I mean, I think it has to do with the way we get saved. I don't know about you, but when people led me to Jesus, they basically almost oversold it in a sense, in that they said, you know, come to Jesus and everything's going to be great afterwards. Now, they were just so eager to draw me to Jesus that they just promised me a rose garden, basically.
Sure.
It wasn't until I got a little older, read the Bible, understood its more full-orbed body of truth, that I began to understand that, yeah, God promises me great and wonderful things, but many times the path to it is suffering. And before I came to that understanding, I was really offended with God.
Sure.
Because I had endured hardship that I thought I had been promised deliverance from.
Well, many, many believers are, frankly. The picture that Derek has shown us of Job this week is a man who is wrestling with being offended at God, because he knew he was a good man. He knew he had done things for the most part God's way, and he was offended at God about the trouble that had come into his life. And I see believers all the time who are walking around with a barrier between them and God because they're offended at him.
Well, and we need to say, you know, people who are listening to this program, I mean, many of them have suffered horrible, horrible things.
Sure.
And unless they have a fully developed biblical theology, they just don't have the slots to put their experience in. You know, I mean, I've had some suffering in my life, but I've not lost a child. I'm not missing an arm or a leg or have some horrible disease. I mean, people really suffer in this life. You know, think of the parents of those kids at Virginia Tech not too long ago. Think of the parents who might this week, God forbid, we hope not, but might lose children in Iraq. You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
This is really heavy stuff. And how do they relate to a loving God at the same time believing that God is using suffering in their lives, and somehow, you know, have the attitude, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but still hating the fact that he's slaying them? I mean, it's a tough balance to walk.
That's exactly right. And it's where Derek is taking us with this teaching, them ministering it to us so powerfully. And it goes along with something I heard somebody say to someone who was experiencing tremendous suffering one time that I thought was really deeply, deeply profound and biblical. And that was this: when you're in the moment of tremendous grief, the natural thing is to ask why, God. But the important thing is to ask what, God.
Yes.
In other words, not why did this happen, although it's natural to ask that and seek that answer. The real question is, what should I do? What should be my response? What do you want me to do at this point, in this dark place in my life, oh God? And what we're learning is that first you have to trust in the goodness of God. You have to make sure you're yielded to him. You're not being independent. You're yielded to God. You're his vessel. And then seek his will. What do you want me to do? In other words, again, don't ask why. Don't only ask why. Ask what? What do you want me to do?
Well, it's absolutely true. And, you know, I want to explore this with you some more, because I want to get into the whole issue of theodicy. You know, why so many atheists, you know, are atheists, because they say, how can there be a good God, you know, when there's suffering in the world? But very quickly, don't we have a resource for the folks that really will help them take this to another level?
We absolutely do. As Derek has pointed out throughout the week, one of the key points, reasons that we find ourselves outside God's protection is a spirit of independence, a rebellious spirit, the inability to really flow with God and his will. And our special free resource this week speaks to that very need. It's called The Grace of Yielding. And in it, Derek brings it's an audio CD teaching, and Derek brings some real practical ways for you to flow in a yieldedness to God that will put you right under his umbrella of protection. All you have to do is call or click and ask for it, www.derekprince.org, or we'll give the phone number at the end of the program.
Really, really a valuable resource. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. Dave, thanks for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
We really want you to join us again tomorrow, because this is such great teaching. But that is all the time we have for today. So for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Do join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your copy of Derek's book, Faith to Live By, available for only $8.95. To order, simply call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget to request your free audio CD copy of Grace of Yielding, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can find both of these resources online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.